Welcome to Happy Hour with Trey and ATL. Grab a glass of your favorite drink and join us as we discuss everything from marriage and parenting to sex and money. Welcome back to Happy Hour with Trey and ATL. This is Trey.
And this is ATL.
And tonight we are sipping on Caribbean rum punch. So this is pretty good. Y'all know I love my coconut and pineapple. So we have to try this. But it's lemon rum, coconut milk, pineapple juice, triple sec, grapefruit juice, and kombucha. And it is pretty good. You can add like chunks, you know, of fruit in there. If you want to do like pineapple, cherries, we didn't put anything in there. But yeah, I really like this one.
You like it, babe?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. So tonight, I do want to start off by saying don't forget to go to our website, treyandatl.com. And all of our social media is at treyandatl. And then what else do we have? We have our new YouTube video, our YouTube channel. We haven't really been posting on there yet, but we're going to start doing that. And also, we want to announce that we're going to switch up our schedule from 2 times a week to 1 time a week. So we're going to this will be our last Monday episode. And since it was the last one for June, you know, we wanted to keep this schedule, but we'll do one Thursday, and that'll be the start of our once a week, which we will then be posting every Thursday. So I did want to let y'all know about that. But don't forget, like I said, all our social media is at TreyandATL. And then you can listen to this podcast on Anchor and all other listening platforms as well. Well, you're listening on it, so whatever you're...
Yeah.
All right. So tonight we wanted to talk about codependency in a relationship, marriage. And before I do that, let me put my phone. I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb just in case a call comes through. So I did want to, what we wanted to talk about was codependency in a marriage, relationship. It can apply to a platonic relationship, friendship, or romantic, but just basically codependency. And it can be defined as a relationship in which two people become so invested in each other that they can't function independently anymore. Your mood and happiness and identity are defined by the other person. And in a codependent relationship, there's usually one person who is more passive and can't make decisions for themselves, and a more dominant personality who gets some reward and satisfaction from controlling the other person and making decisions about how they will live. So in a codependent relationship, there has to be one that's dominant, one that's passive. The passive one can't seem to function. They primarily can't seem to function. Well, they pretty much can't function without each other. It's like a yin yang, but kind of toxic-ish. And so there's one that is, they can't make any decisions for themselves, while the other one is enabling it, making all the decisions, things like that. You have anything on that? Okay, so there are some symptoms of codependency, and you don't need to have them all to qualify as being codependent. So one of them is low self-esteem, that you're feeling like you're not good enough, or you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. That can be a sign. It doesn't necessarily have to be one, but it can be. The next one is people pleasing, and that is, it's fine to want to please someone that you care about, but codependents usually don't think they have a choice, so they're always saying no is just too much for them. It causes them too much anxiety, and they're always wanting to make a lot of sacrifices to pretty much people please.
Do they actually want to make the sacrifices, or they just want to please people?
They just want to please people. So they're not a lot of, they tend to get a whole lot of anxiety because really what they're wanting to say is no, but they want to please the people, the person so much that they end up saying yes. And then later on getting anxiety.
Yeah. It seems like a person that's codependent ends up in this type of relationship because they're getting exactly, well, the more dominant person is getting exactly what they need out of a relationship, whereas the person with the more passive personality, not to say that it's a weaker personality, but the person that's more passive in their dealings with people, they would be attracted to somebody like that because they get that feedback, you know. The person that's more passive, on the other hand, could probably thrive in different types of relationships and be just fine. It's just like when two people get together and one happens to be more dominant and controlling, then if they end up with somebody that's got a passive personality, then it can lead to codependency.
Yeah, it can lead to it because it ends up becoming where it's a case of the inability to function without your partner, without that person. The next one is poor boundaries. So you aren't able to set any boundaries, or you're constantly going over boundaries. It says here, boundaries are sort of an imaginary line between you and others. It divides up what's yours and somebody else's, and that applies not only to your body, money, and belongings, but also to your feelings, thoughts, and needs. That's especially where codependents get into trouble. They have blurry or weak boundaries. They feel responsible for other people's feelings and problems, or blame their own on someone else. Some codependents have rigid boundaries. They are closed off and withdrawn, making it hard for other people to get close to them. Sometimes people flip back and forth between having weak boundaries and having rigid ones. That's so strange. It's just not clear boundaries that are set, going back and forth.
Yeah, and it's probably dependent on who they're in a relationship with, whether or not the boundaries are there or not. Some people are empathic, you know, and so they may, you know, be more attuned to another person's feelings than that person themselves are. And then the other person may be narcissistic and completely all about whatever they want. So that narcissist is getting what they want out of a relationship from someone that's an empath, because they'll try to, you know, make sure everything's okay, you know, and always be kind of paying attention to the more dominant ones.
Yeah. Needs and
yeah, the mood and the way, whatever the mood is of the person that they're in a relationship with is what they adapt to daily throughout the day, even, versus if they're in the relationship with someone that's also pretty laid back and passive, then they have the potential to take on the role of being the one that's more, you know, has firm boundaries about, oh, I don't like this, or, you know, they feel more bold to say, oh, I don't like this, because they don't think that they would infringe or on that person's feelings in any way, you know. So because they are attuned to the other person's feelings, if they with somebody that's really passive, they might have a more firm boundaries about their own feelings.
The next one is reactivity, a consequence of poor boundaries. So you've got the poor boundaries. Well, what results in that is reactivity, which is the consequence. You react to everyone's thoughts and feelings. If someone says something you disagree with, you either believe it or become defensive. You absorb their words because there's no boundary. With a boundary, you'd realize it was just their opinion and not a reflection of you, and not feel threatened by their disagreements.
Well, it's hard to set boundaries with somebody who don't care about your boundaries, too. You know, if you firmly say, you know, this isn't what I'm about, and then the person ignores that, you know, it's kind of like it leaves you to be, you know, defensive about them stepping over the boundary, you know. So if a person say, well, you know, I don't like it when, this is my boundary. I'll do any social gathering except, say, a strip club. So that's my boundary. And that's just hypothetical. And then the person they're in the relationship with, like, well, you know, I like going to the strip club. We're in a relationship, you know, being more pushy about it. So the person moved the goalposts and said, okay, well, maybe a couple of times we'll do this, because they consider that to be, you know, compromising in a relationship. But the person that is more persuasive goes on to keep doing it over and over again. And after that, that person, you know, the person that's not really cool with that boundary being crossed is unhappy.
Yeah. So it's kind of there's a toxic trait of doing that. It's like you're just I guess you're just not respecting boundaries. You're not respecting the boundary. Right. You're not, you know, and you're it's a form of narcissism. Maybe. Where you are constantly, it's like, for example, when somebody tells you, I don't accept phone calls after 8, and then you call after 8 and say, oh, I'm sorry, it's just this one time, you know, something like that. And you're like, okay, well, fine, I'll let it go. Well, now they feel like, okay, well, if I let it go that time, I can call again. So then they call again and you're like, okay, well, this will be the last time. You know, you're not setting that clear boundary, but they're not going to
enforce the boundary.
Yeah.
And that's where they're, what's the word? Their dependence, their codependence come from.
Yeah.
Is their boundaries have been tread on so much that they don't have true identity in the relationship. So they depend on that other person dictating what's going to happen, because their boundaries have been ignored or invalidated.
So the next one is caretaking. And this is another effect of poor boundaries. It's that someone else has a problem. You want to help them to the point that you give up on yourself, or you give up yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just basically you give so much that you give everything that you got and you leave nothing for yourself. So that's not healthy. Yeah.
Setting your own self on fire to keep someone else warm.
Exactly.
You're doing so much caretaking, and of course the dominant person is gonna take advantage of that. That's a sure sign.
But when you give everything you have, that becomes your complete focus. So you keep asking how the person that's catching the short end of the stick becomes codependent with someone that's, you know, benefiting in the relationship. Well, once you give everything you got, that means that you put all your eggs in that basket. That's all you got. You gave everything you had to that person. So now they're your complete focus. And without them, you have no focus. Without them, you have, you know, you don't really have a definition at that point.
Yeah. The next one is control. So control helps codependents feel safe and secure. Everyone needs some control over events in their life. You wouldn't want to live in constant uncertainty and chaos. But for codependents, control limits their ability to take risks and share their feelings. Sometimes they have an addiction that either helps them loosen up, like alcoholism, or helps them hold their feelings down, like workaholism, so that they don't feel out of control. Codependents also need to control those close to them, because they need other people to behave in a certain way to feel okay. In fact, people pleasing and caretaking can be used to control and manipulate people. Alternatively, codependents are bossy and tell you what you should or shouldn't do. This is a violation of someone else's boundary.
Yeah.
So just being controlling, but also allowing people to control you to make you feel safe.
Yeah, well, that's part of the depend. They depend on things being a certain way in the relationship in order for them to feel content in the relationship. So once if anything is not in the boundaries of what they've decided was desirable, then, and it falls outside of that, they become unhappy because they're dependent on things being consistent within that little part, you know, their little world. They just... that they have control over, you know.
Next one is dysfunctional communication. So it's having trouble being able to express your thoughts, your feelings, your needs, especially when you don't even know what your thoughts, feelings, and needs are because you're being controlled or you're allowing that to happen. And other times you know, but you won't own up to your truth. You're afraid to be truthful because you don't want to upset someone. Instead of saying, I don't like that, you might pretend that it's okay or tell someone what to do. Communication becomes dishonest and confusing when you try to manipulate the other person out of fear.
Yeah, basically you're trying to keep that person happy by any means necessary, even lying and manipulating the environment, other folks in the environment, in order to please that person.
Oh, wow. Okay. Next one is obsessions. So they have a tendency to spend their time thinking about other people or relationships. This is caused by their dependency and anxieties and fears. They can also become obsessed when they think they've made or might make a mistake. Sometimes you can lapse into fantasy about how you'd like things to be or about someone you love as a way to avoid the pain of the present. This is one way to stay in denial, discussed below, but it keeps you from living your life. Oh, denial, discussed below. Denial's one of the ones that's in below. So they stay in they're obsessed over a situation or obsessed over people or relationship, but it's a way to stay in denial and keeps you from living your life.
Yeah, as long as they can maintain that structure of the relationship that matches what their comfort
zone.
Their
fantasy.
Yeah, then they feel peace and okay in the relationship. But once anything deviates from that, then they have anxiety. So that sense of control is lost. And so there may be conflict because of that.
Next one is dependency. So codependents need other people to like them and to feel okay about themselves. They're afraid of being rejected or abandoned, even if they can function on their own. Others always need to be in a relationship. I think that was written backwards. Because they feel depressed or lonely when they're by themselves for too long. This trait makes it hard for them to end a relationship, even when the relationship is painful or abusive. They end up feeling trapped.
Yeah, that was just telling you the two points of view, for the two codependent people in a relationship. You have the dominant one and the non-dominant one, or the one that is pleasing and the one that needs to be pleased. So they were saying the reasons why they stay.
It's kind of similar to empaths and energy vampires.
Yeah.
So they call them energy vampires because they suck the energy.
Yep.
And that's what they do. Like, they tend to look for or they're attracted to or they cling to empaths. Mm-hmm. They're always looking for empaths. And, people who are empaths, they're extremely in tune. They're sensitive to, they're emotional. And they are really empathetic, just empathetic people.
The way I see it in my mind is that the empath is the sugar daddy. And the other person in the relationship, the codependent relationship, is the gold digger. Because the sugar daddy will give whatever it takes in order to have that companionship.
Oh.
And the gold digger, it only feels validated by getting more and more things that don't really define a relationship.
I was thinking the sugar daddy, I didn't think of it that way, because the sugar daddy is always giving money and giving the, but yeah, it's so that they can maintain a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. All right, next one is denial. So that's already self-explanatory. Somebody who's codependent, they're in denial all the time. They're in denial of what reality, is for their relationship. In denial for the dynamic of their relationship, of their marriage, of their friendship, all of that. They're either they keep complaining or trying to fix the other person, or they go from one relationship or job to another and never own up to the fact that they have a problem. Codependents also deny their feelings and needs. Often they don't know what they're feeling and are instead focused on what others are feeling.
Yeah, that's the definition of how they work. Like, that's the how they are. Like, they can't help it.
They pretty much lost themselves. They only cling to other people, and they take on the problem identity and all that of the other person, because they can't function outside of that other person. Yeah,
they need to be doing something for somebody else in order to feel valid.
Yeah. See, it says, although some codependents seem needy, others act like they're self-sufficient when it comes to needing help. They won't reach out and have trouble receiving. They are in denial of their vulnerability and need for love and intimacy. The next one is problems with intimacy. So by this, I'm not referring to sex, although sexual dysfunction often is a reflection of an intimacy problem. It's talking about being open and close with someone in an intimate relationship. Because of the shame and weak boundaries, you might fear that you'll be judged, rejected, or left. On the other hand, you may fear being smothered in a relationship and losing your autonomy. You might deny your need for closeness and feel that your partner wants too much of your time. Your partner complains that you're unavailable, but he or she is denying his or her need for separateness.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
I can't. It's this drink. I'm trying to read. Okay, separateness. So I'm going to put the link to this, to what I'm reading, in the show notes so that y'all can take a look at it and read it on your own if you want. But, like, you know, most of our episodes, it's going to be kind of, we use a guide just to help us discuss certain issues or certain things. Anyway, so yeah, problems with intimacy. So not necessarily sex, but just being intimate, closeness with somebody, being able to communicate, being able to let your wall down. It can either be too much, you know, or like you're smothering me, or right?
Yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know. I lost my train of thought because I was waiting for you to finish and then you stopped abruptly.
Okay. So, yeah, because I was trying to, like, okay, so problems with intimacy. So you have where you, because of the shame and weak boundaries, you might fear that you're going to be judged or rejected or left. And on the other hand, you might fear being smothered.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I was thinking about was, you know, especially with women, we're emotional creatures. So if you're emotionally, you're not in a good place emotionally, you're not going to be interested in intimacy of any kind, whether it's sexual or you know, whatever other type intimacy, like cuddles or whatever like that, because I don't know. It's just hard to explain. But as a female, you know what I mean? Like, if you're feeling like stressed or you got anxiety. Yeah. And then the last thing on your mind is some intimacy, because you're in a chaotic place.
But
mentally.
Even not just like sexual or cuddle, like intimate, you can be intimate, like with a friend. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean, you know, being sexual or anything like that. It just means like one-on-one time. You know, people have problems with having one-on-one time with somebody, you know.
I don't think you can be intimate with a friend. Like, intimacy specifically should be with a partner, right?
Well, no, because, okay, so let's look that up. What does intimacy mean? Hold on. So let's pull up the definition of intimacy. Close, acquainted, familiar, private, personal, a very close friend. Let me look look up another intimate definition. Closely acquainted, private and personal, someone who is very close to you. So see, it doesn't have to be, intimacy doesn't just mean sexual or romantic. Intimacy can be, you know, you can be intimate with a friend where, like, for example, two best friends who know each other for so long and they are going on a, you know.
I guess because of the nature of a homosexual relationship, it's just hard to put the lines blur, because if you're quote unquote intimate with just a friend, you know, and you do friend things with someone else, and then when you come home, what do you have left?
But you have to eliminate your definition of intimacy. That's the problem there. You're thinking, you know, intimacy is just this. And so you have to eliminate your definition of what intimacy is and understand that intimacy is a whole, you know, being intimate with somebody. I can be intimate with my sister, and that's, and I'm not talking about sex, you know, but like we had an intimate conversation. That meant that it was very close. It was very deep. It was very personal, you know, something like that. That's what, you know, or you have an intimate conversation with a friend, something that you would not converse with anybody else about, like that. So that's what that means. And so in this situation, it's saying that they're not referring to sex, although sexual dysfunction can be a reflection of intimacy problems. It's talking about being open and close with someone. So that's where it can also apply to platonic relationships, you know, not just your marriage or relationship, that romantic relationship that you're in. Am I right?
Yeah.
Or am I right? Okay. Last one, painful emotions. Codependency creates stress and leads to painful emotions. Shame and low self-esteem create anxiety and fear about being judged, rejected, or abandoned. Making mistakes, being a failure, feeling trapped by being close or being alone. The other symptoms lead to feelings of anger and resentment, depression, hopelessness, and despair. When the feelings are too much, you can feel numb. So those kind of painful emotions. Just feeling numbness, depression.
Yeah, I guess when somebody numb, they just don't give a damn one way or the other.
Yeah, and almost like they have no emotion. Yeah. You know, they're too busy trying to please the dominant one. And I knew, you know, we knew a couple that was like that, you know, it was kind of obvious, but down to the point of where, like, I don't want to go into detail, but it was kind of obvious. And so she was looking for everything. Control outside of the home, in other people, loyalty, and all of this stuff that was. And it was like, what, you know, anyway, but you can kind of tell where when there's a dominant person and then there's the one that is the passive one. And you may be in this type of relationship now, you know what I'm saying? Just if you're listening to this, and you're wanting to know, you know, am I in this type of relationship? Well, okay, there's one that's a dominant, there's one that's a passive. And the passive, if it gets to a point where you cannot function independently, I've got to be home by this time. I've got to make sure dinner's ready by this time. I've got to, you know, if I go out of town, I have to make sure this is done. You know, things like that. If you can't function independently and you're constantly, you know, and go back through and listen to all of the symptoms, you know, or the things that was mentioned, you might be in a codependent relationship.
Yep.
So it's a lot.
Yep.
But you want to try, and maybe we'll do the next episode, because I think that we're kind of going over our time, but Yeah. On the next episode, we'll go into ways to maybe, I don't know, don't quote us on this, but maybe going into ways to come out of that codependent relationship. Things you can do, you know, what can you do? I don't know. We'll discuss that. You have anything else you want to say?
No.
So don't forget to go to our social media handles at TreyandATL. YouTube channel. Just go ahead and subscribe. It's free to subscribe. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to do anything. Just press a button and then walk away. And then share. Oh, also, if you're on Apple, I don't know if Google or the other podcast listening sites do this, but if you are on Apple, listening on Apple, go ahead and rate our podcast. Just click the 5 stars. And then be done with it. You know, just feel you did your deed for the day. Okay. And as always, you can always contact us at treyandatl@gmail.com. The contact us is also in our Instagram. If you click the link in the bio, you're able to access all the links from there. All right. Y'all have a good rest of the night, and we will talk to y'all on the next episode. Bye.